Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We are here with Boy Oh Boy Conversations with Gray and JC Grayson.
JC?
This might very well be the earliest recording ever in the history, in the 142-week history, all of season one of Boy Oh Boy.
Very possible.
Very possible. Like, I can't... I was trying to think earlier when I was in the shower, which you didn't get to do, which is unfortunate. But I was trying to think earlier, on what other occasion will we need to record as early as 9 a.m.? I mean, for you, it's 10, but still, pretty early.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely... Oh, it's early.
It is. It is. Because back in high school, we do it after class on Friday. In college, we started doing it, like, near midnight or whatever, or for me near midnight at least, and that was miserable because I couldn't go to sleep for the longest time. And then we started doing it around noon, so I think this is the earliest. I think it's official. So another landmark episode as we sort of close up and wrap up this first season. Isn't that incredible?
We are a podcast of landmarks.
We really are.
There's so many things.
We do. They're all very self-contained accomplishments too, which unfortunately...
I don't even know what you're talking about. They're a big deal.
They are.
Every one of them's a big deal.
They are very big deals. They are. I don't want to downplay that success. You know how humble I am, you know?
Yeah.
So I apologize because I tend to forget that when I'm humble about this show, I sort of also downplay your accomplishments too, and that's just not fair of me. So I apologize.
Yeah, and everyone knows how big this show is. So
I know.
You don't need to downplay it. It just comes off a little cocky, you know?
Yeah, we are big enough at this point to where it seems almost disingenuous to an extent if I continue with this sort of, oh, I'm fake humble, you know? It's just, it's
Absolutely.
Too much. It's too much. But we are moving on and up in the world. I know we've discussed it a few weeks now in a row about how we're getting a new website, a new logo, all sorts of exciting stuff in preparation of 145, the beginning of a new Boy Oh Boy, the beginning of season two of Boy Oh Boy. And so I spent like a good 3.5-4 hours on this past Sunday on Discord with our good friend Hans Grayson, and that was an experience.
Cool.
You sound so
like a good one.
So underwhelmed.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, the experience was pretty pleasant. Like, I enjoyed talking with him. He was awesome to hang out with. But the problem was all the difficulties you ran into. Because the whole point of me getting in touch with Hans and hanging out with him for a while is so he could teach me all about the new website and how to upload stuff. Because he has been so kind and so helpful and getting us a cheaper alternative to our current setup with Boy Oh Boy. Mm-hmm. And so he was just teaching me how to use the new website. And I thought that was going to take a long time. You know, I was thought like, oh, he built it from scratch, all this sort of stuff. It's going to be so difficult and hard to learn, and I might not be able to figure it out. But he taught me in a matter of like 10 minutes. And then the hard part, Grayson, the hardest part, and the part that occupied most of the many hours we spent together, was trying to log into my iTunes account. Okay, because we have to, this means nothing to anyone listening, and it probably means nothing to you, Grayson, but we have what is called an RSS feed through SoundCloud right now, and that is how our podcast gets out to all the different platforms. So that's how it ends up on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all of them. And so we have to go through and we have to contact all those platforms and be like, hey, we changed our RSS feed. If you can update for us, that'd be awesome. And it theoretically should be the easiest part of the whole thing, you know? It's a matter of pasting a new link. And for whatever reason, iTunes, the platform from which we obtain our most listeners, and I think it's just the most popular platform for podcasts in general, they don't want to let me log into the account. And I could get into the specifics of what's happening, like, and you know what, I will, because apparently Hans was telling me that there's a whole new service that iTunes just set up called Podcast Connect in addition to iTunes Connect, and it's still so new that they haven't figured everything out yet. So when I try logging into one, it redirects me to the other website, and so every time I log into one website, it redirects me to the other website to log in, and so it's just a loop that I can't get past. And in order to get the customer service to find their phone number or email, you know what you have to do in order to get that information, Grayson?
What's that?
You have to log in. So I am so lost and confused and have no recourse. So I'm waiting it out and hoping that after a few days it'll just fix itself. But I have no clue. But Hans also has all my iTunes information now, too. So if he wants to steal my credit card information.
He has so many of my logins from across the years.
That's perfect.
It's unbelievable.
I was telling him that he's so lucky that he has, like, one of the most trusting voices imaginable. Otherwise, that process would have been so much more complicated. But that was how a large part of my Sunday was spent.
He is genuinely one of the greatest people I know.
Dude, he's great.
He's just a fantastic dude.
He's willing to do all this stuff for free. And part of changing over all our episodes to this new website that we have to go through and re-upload all 142. And I was like, oh, I'll probably wait till I get back to school to do that so I have better Wi-Fi and it doesn't take me, like, multiple days to do. And he was like, oh, no, don't worry about that. I can do it for you. And so he just volunteered himself for hours and hours of downloading and uploading for really no material gain. And I can't tell him how much I appreciate it. I know. He really is. He really, truly is. So, good to... I also made him an official member of Boy Oh Boy when we were talking, so I hope that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. He seemed a bit hesitant and resistant at first, but at the end, I believe he was appreciative. Yeah, so Hans is welcome.
I wonder why he was such a...
I wonder. Hans is welcome.
It's such a prestigious position.
It really is. We were discussing about how...
I wouldn't want to be related to this podcast.
How big the show is, how much we're blowing up entering into season two. You know, like, he would be getting in still while we're on that upswing, on that initial sort of wave of momentum. And that's a big deal, I feel.
Huge deal.
I think so, Grayson. But that was how my weekend was spent. And I want to know, though, what has been going on in the life of Grayson?
Oh, so much. Ooh. Should I start all the way back so we cover the thing that we missed last week first? Do you want me to just talk about, like, most recent to farthest back?
Trust your judgment, but I say, just so we don't go 2 weeks without mentioning it, let's talk about the old thing.
Okay. So the old thing is that I had a phone call with my grandfather. And I love my grandpa. He's a fun guy to talk to. But he had a motivation in calling me.
Yes, he did.
He had a specific topic in mind.
I mean, because we mentioned last week that this phone call that we're about to talk about, Grayson, could very well put in jeopardy your entire financial security, you know? Your entire college education, all that money that's going towards your housing and all your classes, that could be taken away from you in an instant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Just
that's good.
The ending for
that's
you real
good.
Quick.
I mean, that's sort of sucky. We didn't
really
do that.
Tension.
I'll bleep it out. I'll bleep it out in post. Yeah.
What was I?
This is your story, man. I can't guide you here.
Well, I was trying to remember where I was going to start, and now I remember where I was going to start because I'm not going to start with the phone call. I'm going to start a couple days before.
I see.
Basically, I was having this conversation with my mother about defunding the police because it was during all the Black Lives Matter protests and everything like that. And the big chant from all of them was to defund the police. And my mother was like, oh, that would be impossible. And I was like, why? And I went on this big rant explaining exactly why defund the police is a sensible option, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay.
And by the end of it, my mother was like, wow, that was actually a pretty good case. Thank you for telling me all this.
Uh-huh.
Like, no problem. Because it was a fun conversation, and I like talking about ideas a lot, and I got to yell a bunch.
Also,
which I do.
Am I mistaken in thinking that your mother is quite submissive in those scenarios, and it was probably just you steamrolling over her the entire time?
She typically isn't.
Okay.
She's a very good debater.
Wow.
Like, compared to my dad cannot argue.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
But my mom is very adept at it.
Okay, so you got your mom's argumentative skills, but you got your dad's sort of capacity for anger and frustration. So,
probably,
like, they combine, and it's a weird mess. But it works.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Yeah. It's a complicated mess. In this specific instance, I will say she wasn't very argumentative. I don't think she had a particular case she was going for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think it was just an easy thing to say, like, no, obviously I don't want to defund the police. I want to be safe type of thing.
Yeah.
Without having, like, a particular case. And so once I can convince her that that isn't true, like, you can be safe while defunding the police,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a very easy argument to make, I think.
Okay.
But we had a really good discussion. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And then she decided to tell my grandmother about it. Basically, she was like, they were in conversation because they talk every day. And my grandmother had mentioned something about the whole riots and everything going on and the police and everything like that. My mom was like, well, Grayson actually had a really great argument on that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my grandmother's the most conservative woman in the world.
Okay. Fantastic.
And you would think she knows that I'm not a fringe lunatic.
Well,
or the fact that I was the one that convinced her to vote for Trump.
Okay.
So there's no way I'm this crazy lefty.
Uh-huh.
But somehow in her head, I think she got that. And so I guess that worried her.
Grayson, we've discussed, too, how as the show goes on and as we enter into this new phase of Boy Oh Boy, we've changed a bit as humans since we started the show. So maybe you're just not quite aware of it yourself yet, but maybe you are turning into, as you put it, a crazy lefty, you know?
Nah.
No? Okay.
I'm still what I've always been, an anti-centrist.
Okay. Okay. According to Mr. Sailor, an anarchist, no?
You certainly think so.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Good old ANCAP. But I had that discussion with my mom. My mom told my grandmother about it. And my grandmother, being the conservative woman that she was, or is, she probably got worried about it. And for whatever reason, she was talking to my aunt, my mother's sister, about it.
How dare she?
She was just having a conversation, because they also talk every day.
Oh, okay.
She tells my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't tell my aunt anything that you want to keep on the low.
Okay.
Anything. And on top of that, my aunt, her son-in-law, my cousin's husband, is a police officer. And here my grandma goes, telling, gallivanting around this information that I want to defund the police.
Uh-huh.
Some crazy radical.
True.
To my wonderful aunt, who is very pro-police due to family ties.
Mm-hmm.
Very concerned about the situation for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And is notorious for being the person you do not tell family information to, because it
good.
Will get to everyone in the family.
That must be such a shitty reputation to have. You know, just no one wants to disclose anything.
My brother has it too. You don't tell my brother anything.
Really? Oh, no.
If you want to keep it a secret, you don't tell my brother.
I always worry that people feel that way about me, like inside my family and not. It's terrifying. I don't like it. But is this the same aunt who has all the copious amount of plastic surgery?
No.
Okay, no. Okay.
I don't have an aunt with plastic surgery for sure.
What do you
mean? Just one theory of what might have happened at one surgery.
One theory of a pretty, pretty obvious observation. No? Like, it's not a far-fetched theory.
I feel like plastic surgery still has a pretty lengthy rehabilitation time sometimes.
Okay, what's wrong with that? What is the rehabilitation time have to do with anything?
Well, because the only reason we thought maybe it was a cosmetic surgery was mm-hmm. because it was such fast recovery.
Oh.
So it probably isn't plastic surgery, but we think it was probably something rather cosmetic.
Okay, same deal. Maybe hair plugs?
Yeah.
Is that maybe the route she went?
It didn't look like it.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like you can see that for a few weeks at the very least afterwards.
You can see it for the rest of their life afterwards. They're atrocious.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Fair enough. But yes, my grandmother told my aunt. Now, my aunt was on the phone with my grandpa. And my grandpa, he spends most of his time at home now, because of the whole lockdown thing and the quarantine. He did that anyway, honestly.
Okay.
And he watches the news and Judge Judy constantly.
It's a good life.
And then also, like, the police shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the live cam type
yeah.
of like, shows.
Alaska PD.
Watches a lot of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tons of that. So he's sitting at home, and he's having a conversation with my aunt. And here's the thing. You also don't tell my grandpa anything.
Okay.
Not because he's going to spread it around, but because he will get frustrated with anything.
I see.
Like, even just the tiniest bit of information. It's like, oh yeah, Grayson went to the park today. It's like, why is he at the park? It's quarantine. Well, no one was there. Well, someone could have been there. Maybe COVID survived on the park equipment. but it doesn't survive on surfaces in the sun.
You don't know that.
It's like, why are you upset?
That's one of those.
You don't need to be upset.
That's one of those behaviors that we work on at the trauma place and correcting in people. Jump into conclusions, you know? Maybe we can get your grandpa hooked up with a Nova.
Maybe.
I think so.
Point is, you just don't feed him information. You don't feed him political stuff or political things about people because he'll get frustrated.
Okay.
And my aunt has done this more than anybody. Like, she's made the mistake more than anybody. As my mom talks about it, she says basically everyone in the family at some point or another has crossed the line. And the line is where my grandpa goes from rather congenial, like a friendly guy, into just frustrated and angry and yelling at you.
Okay.
Because you disagree. So she's done that a lot already to where she's just gotten my grandfather frustrated. So she should know not to do this. No. No. She just lets on, oh, yeah, and also Grayson wants to defund the police.
That's perfect.
And you got to think. After being translated from me to my mother to my grandmother to my aunt, and then my aunt to my grandfather, there's no way anything I said, like, preserved through that line.
You don't think the nuance carried
not
over?
Not a word.
Oh, wow.
Not a single bit.
Oh, no.
And so what my grandfather probably heard was, Grayson wants to get rid of all of the police. He hates them. He hates the police.
Is that inaccurate?
It's inaccurate.
Wow. I thought you were a crazy lefty, Grayson. What's happening?
I know.
You're changing so much. Oh, my God.
Like, have I ever told you that my grandpa was a police chief in Illinois?
No.
I've always respected him for that. I think that's great. I love the police, but also defund the police, you know?
Okay. Okay, so there's a bit of personal meaning as well attached to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have his, like, flag, and I put it up in his whatever room I'm in.
Okay.
Like, I have his flag and his police chief hat. I love that. I love the police.
Yes.
But my grandpa, he definitely heard, just get rid of all police, for my aunt. And one day, I wake up to a text. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually going to pull up these texts. I feel like that adds to the story.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But I wake up to this text more or less out of nowhere, because I don't get all that many texts for my... from my grandpa,
he's an
just
old
out
man.
Of nowhere. It's normally centralized around, like, when he's giving me money.
Oh, good. That's the basis of any healthy relationship.
Well, no, he'll contact me and he'll be like, hey, did you get the transfer? And I'll be like, oh, I haven't checked. Let me check.
Okay.
Yep, I got it. Thanks, Grandpa. And it's stuff like that. But he'll text me if I got it, like, 20 minutes after he sent it.
That's great.
Yeah. But I wake up to this text and it says, I understand that you believe that we should defund the police. If this is true, because, you know, obviously you don't want to believe
it. Yeah.
Right off the bat. If this is true, I would like to hear from you your specific experiences and documentation for the justification of your position. And then he sends it off, Love Pops, which is great.
That was very cordial.
He never says Love Pops. Like, ever.
Uh-huh.
He just doesn't say I love you.
Oh, he's worried that his grandson is turning into a crazy lefty, and so he there's a bit of sympathy there that might not have existed previously, you know? He's worried. He's a concerned grandpa. Yeah,
he just kind of tacked it on to the end.
That's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. And so I responded, and I said, I think the police are over-militarized, and they make a very bad army. I'd rather that money be spent not on tear-gassing civilians and spent on better rehabilitation and community centers. For instance, the police spend 7 or 8% of their time on medical drug overdose and homeless situations. I'd rather take 8% of their budget and give it to an unarmed community care organization to specifically handle those type of situations. And apparently he didn't like my documentation. And he responds, I asked for your personal experience.
True.
Which is like, what?
True.
And I said, I don't have any bad experience with the police. I like the police. But to justify my positions... I like statistics. And then he's... this is where it gets crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say, I did send a link with that last thing where I was talking about the 7 to 8%.
Yeah, you were substantiating your points. That's good.
Yeah. I get the... After the statistics text, I get this quite lengthy text. Where's the source of your statistics? Please be aware that there are more than one source. And now the crazy part.
What do you call civilians who in the past weekend in one location injured over 52 police officers, threw over 20 Molotov cocktails, hospitalized three officers with serious eye damage via high-intensity laser, fired industrial commercial rockets at personnel, and threw broken windows of private and government buildings, threw rocks, bricks, and frozen water bottles at those who were only trying to protect? Should those standing guard use their guns or clubs? Tear gas is not an injurious weapon. It's a deterrent. I have been tear gassed. Carol, my grandmother, has been tear gassed. We survived. Most officers have been submitted to tear gas, just as they have been to taser guns. If you watch the videos, all the participants were not peaceful protesters. All that's one sentence. And then he takes a little gap, like a indent gap.
That's good. That's good.
Why don't you give me a call so we can discuss?
Uh-huh. So I want to say he does have a fair point, Grayson. You can't have an opinion until you've been tear gassed. So
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
He kept bringing that up during our phone call. It was like, well, what experiences do you have? Like,
yeah.
That's nonsense.
Also,
I don't need to be beaten to know I don't want to be beaten.
If you want to redistribute and reallocate funds that go to police, clearly that just by proxy also makes you an endorser of criminals. Is endorser a word?
Yeah. I don't know.
I hope so. Otherwise, I'd sound like a real fool.
It sounds like a word.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound like a word at all. Endorser? Oh. Endorser sounds like the furthest thing from a word. But continue. An advocate. I'll say advocate. You're an advocate for criminals.
Okay. Yeah, he does definitely just assume that I consider all the protests peaceful protests. Just out of nowhere. It's very silly. And then I respond, sure. You free now? And he said, how about in 15 minutes? And so naturally, he's going on to his computer now to look up a whole bunch of sources to try and just demolish my argument.
Of course.
And so I was like, sure. And then I waited 15 minutes and I asked him good to call. And he said, yes. And we talked for 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's three times the amount of research he did.
Yeah. 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
For him to, in the end, basically just agree with me.
That's nice. You got him to switch over. Your grandpa's a crazy lefty now.
Basically.
That's insane. Congrats.
Thank you. I don't, like, it's hard to get him to even come to a congenial end on most discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very proud of what I managed to accomplish in 45 minutes.
Okay. So you know what you should have done, Grayson? To at the very end of the phone call, you know, after like the two of you have made up, your grandpa's back on your side, he wants to keep funding your education, you just sort of mention offhandedly that Wilson doesn't want the police to exist, and then you end the conversation, you know, and then you get twice the money and you're all set.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think so.
It's almost as if that would work really well considering the fact that Wilson is also paying rent to the same place I am.
Well,
that really helped me out.
Wouldn't it give you some peace of mind knowing that the money is all the money is going through you rather than your brother?
A little, because I've paid everything so far.
Okay. See, then I think it's still a valid strategy. But that's good. I'm glad to hear that the relationship between you and your father's father or your mother's father is not tarnished.
My mother's father.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was good. It was basically this thing where I was like, well, I don't want to just get rid of all the police. I think that they're put in danger and they're being used as an army when in reality we have the National Guard to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, I do think the National Guard should have been called in. And I was like, well, okay, then we can agree on that. And I think the mistake is caused by us giving them too much funding so they think they can handle these situations, which they aren't trained for. And he's like, well, that's a fair case. And so it's just like one by one, he would get really upset. And then I'd be like, well, here's where we agree.
Yeah.
This is where you're just kind of saying nonsense that I don't actually believe.
Nice.
This is kind of the ground. The one thing we disagreed on to the very end was tear gas.
Oh, good. Well, to be fair, you've never been tear gassed, Grayson. So
never been tear gassed.
Again, your opinion doesn't hold much weight.
The only reason I'm against tear gas, because I wouldn't have been against tear gas probably like 20 or 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was kind of a distinct difference back then. But we've gotten really good at making tear gas.
So it hurts. So,
well, the main reason we were like okay to use tear gas for so long was because there was two types of tear gas, basically.
Okay.
There's one that's banned by the Geneva Convention, which is the synthetic stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then there's one that's the organically derived, basically.
Okay. The synthetic and stuff is what was used to burn down the place in Waco, no?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well.
I have no clue.
Okay, well.
Are you talking about the cult?
Yeah, David Koresh's thing, the Branch Davidians. They used whatever tear gas, they launched it into the building, they started a fire and murdered everyone, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I always heard the fire was started from the inside.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, oh, there's all speculation about how it started. But also, the thing that everyone points to is that tear gas has been used multiple times by the police and the ATF and like instances beforehand. And like almost every single time it's been used, a fire starts. And so they assume it's because of the gas. But that's a topic I could have talked about a lot better 3 months ago. We're not there anymore. So is that the conclusion of all your defunding crazy lefty story, Grayson?
Well, you didn't even let me finish the tear gas.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was just going to say that the organic formulation that is still technically internationally legal has gotten so good at basically being derived from organic compounds that it's more or less the same thing as the synthetic one at this point.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's basically identical.
Great.
There's no real difference.
That's nice. That's nice. Well,
yeah.
I unfortunately have not gotten tear gas in the last week, Grayson. However, just a couple days ago at work, I was told to go to the front door of the building to tell a police officer to be quiet, you know, which was an experience. I didn't feel comfortable doing that at all, but I was told to tell him to keep his voice down, and I didn't like that. I didn't like having to do that at all.
That's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think so. But it was done.
Why was the police officer shouting at your door?
I wouldn't say shouting. I would say men, and maybe men who are more likely and more naturally predisposed to become police officers, maybe don't have the softest speaking voices in the world, you know?
Mm.
They might come off a bit like oafs at times. And so I think that may have been the factor at play here. But I'm glad.
You know, I have the ultimate solution to our police force.
Oh, okay.
Make them grow mustaches.
Ooh, is that just like to? I'm struggling here, Grayson. Is that maybe have an effect on their personality? Like, you know how we've talked about a bunch how names can, like the name that you give your child will affect just by cultural expectations, who they grew up to be and how they sort of manifest in adulthood. Is that the idea behind the mustache, that having it?
No.
There'll be, oh, okay.
Basically, in India, they did this study where they figured out that people respect police officers more if they have a mustache. Like the average citizen respects them if they have a mustache. So they treat the police officers with a mustache with more respect and like more like, yes, officer, absolutely, type of thing. And so it leads to better police interactions overall. And so they give them a higher pay for having a mustache.
That's incredible. So I think that's a good idea, actually, because the police officer that I had to tell to be quiet, very clean shaven. And you know what? I think there would have been a greater level of respect there had I seen some hair on his face, you know?
Particularly his upper lip.
Yes, particularly. I mean, anywhere else it would be disgusting, but
yeah.
Because
a mustache, it's like enough facial hair where you're like, oh, that's a man. That's a man's man. Better respect him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like so much facial hair that it just looks sloppy.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here, Grayson. When are you going to start your mustache, man?
You know, I'd love to grow a mustache, but like the middle section right above like my Cupid's bow of my lip.
Yeah.
It's just so blonde there. I don't get any of the dark hairs. It's so blonde that it's just invisible most of the time.
How would you feel about,
like, why even bother?
As like a certain, like a birthday gift in the future or a Christmas gift, a supply, a very big supply of Just for Men, you know, and then you can just comb it through your upper lip every day and then you're all set. You can dye your blonde lip.
I feel like you're most definitely not meant to dye things on your face with that.
You definitely are. I've seen the commercials. I've been watching those commercials since I was like 8 years old because they sponsor wrestling. And they always show people dyeing their beard with that comb. Like you squeeze it and then the ink comes out of the comb. And then, ta-da, your facial hair is black or brown or gray. Whatever color you want, man.
Well, you see, the issue then would be I would have to grow it out, look real like pedo for a long time.
Yes.
Not pedo, pedo.
Well.
For a long time. And then I would dye it. So I don't really want to go through the pedo phase, you know?
I guess so. But it's not like you'd be leading anyone astray, right?
I mean, probably.
Probably, that's unfortunate.
I mean, that's definitely, by definition, what leading someone astray is.
Oh,
presenting yourself.
Okay, I see. Maybe I misunderstood you as a person more so than the word. I think that might have been the issue. Yeah, yeah. But, okay, or you could just go all out with a very blonde, disgusting set of facial hair, you know? Just have it sort of translucent and weird.
I've tried it. It does not work.
No, it doesn't sound like it, but it'd give you some personality, because that's what you're lacking.
I see.
Yeah.
You're really lacking personality.
I think so. And that's a good solution, I think. But, okay, so we heard all about your grandpa. We heard all about how you've saved the money coming in for your education. And that was the only reason that you bothered to call him. You know, you don't care about your personal relationship. You want that money, and that's understandable. Mm. But I also heard that one of your grandmothers, alongside one of your aunts, was in town in South Carolina visiting you. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a real joy.
Hey-o.
My Auntie Kathy and my Grandma Nancy, they came from Illinois. They just drove straight from Illinois to here.
I mean, that's not that bad of a drive, right? It's like a straight shot south.
I think it's like 13 hours.
Oh, Jesus, that's pretty bad.
It's about the same amount of time that it took me to get from San Antonio to Arizona.
That's stupid. Why would they do that? Like, for what?
They really wanted to see it.
To sit in a house?
Well, my grandmother is probably going to die soon.
Oh,
bluntly.
Wow. So 13-hour car rides there and back. Great idea.
Well, she can just sit there. It doesn't matter.
I guess so. I just imagine my grandfather, who's on the brink of death. And, I mean, he couldn't ride in a train or a car for that long. He'd be shitting himself constantly. He'd like, his legs would get all fucked up from not moving. You know,
shockingly, I think they only stopped for the bathroom like twice.
Okay. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
What great control of her bowels. That's very impressive. Next time you see her.
You say that, but she just does not have good control down there.
Oh, no. Is that something that you've become acquainted with? Her lack of control?
She passes a lot of gas.
Oh, I don't. That's unfortunate. You don't need to put that on the public airways. We've discussed how large the show is. That's not going to help your grandma.
But yes, she's on the decline of her life. It's just reality. She knows it. She's having some surgeries that are particularly dangerous. And my dad's her favorite.
Okay.
Her favorite child. The whole family knows it. When my dad moved to Arizona, she left her three other children and moved to Arizona as well.
Great.
Yeah. The whole family knows my dad's her favorite. And so I guess my Auntie Kathy, she was like, well, I want to go to South Carolina and see my brother anyways and see my nephews. I'll just take Grandma down so that she can see her favorite child.
Yes, of course.
And so they did. They came down. It was fun.
Is your dad the youngest?
No, he's the oldest.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive to stay the favorite despite being the oldest.
Yeah.
Wow, his siblings must suck. Okay. Well, so you had a nice, pleasant time. You hung out. You ate. Did anything exciting happen aside from the paranormal experiences?
Well, we went tubing one day. Well, first I should say, we went on a hike.
Wow.
Hike, and for whatever reason, I couldn't find my Vans, and so I wore my Converse. And I don't like wearing my Converse on long walks because my pinky toe just doesn't quite fit right in them.
Not to mention, so they're some of the flattest shoes imaginable and not meant for those purposes at all, but okay.
I got really weird shaped feet, so there's just no good shoe for me.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's no solution here, so I just wear whatever I like.
Okay.
But I wore my Converse, and I got a blister on both of my pinky toes, and then there was also a hole in the bottom of my sock, which I didn't realize.
Okay.
And I got a blister in that, like, where that hole was.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, you sent me photos of all this stuff. I just have to say, for listening audience, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's disgusting. I really don't want to hear about it because it does make me cringe, and I hate it so much. But continue.
Well, I only sent you the picture of one of my feet. I sent you the hole on the bottom of my foot.
Okay, cool, man.
Yeah. So, the blister on my pinky toe on my left foot, that one's fine now. It's more or less totally healed. There's a little red spot.
Very happy to hear that. That's great.
But the following day, we went tubing. And by that point, all of my blisters had popped. So, like, they were like the skin.
Yeah.
Flap type of thing.
Yep.
And I was out in the water. And when I was out in the water, I was, one, very diligent about sunscreen the whole way through.
That's good.
I kept reapplying and over and over and over and over. Didn't help. And I got so, so sunburnt to the point where even now, like 3 days after, still struggling to walk properly.
So I expect honesty here, Grayson. When you say that you were very, very dedicated to applying sunscreen, how many applications does that entail? Like, how long were you outside?
5 or 6.
Wow, okay.
Like 5 or 6 over the course of a 3-hour tubing thing.
Now let me ask this. Was it spray sunscreen or the rub-on?
It was spray.
Okay. Well, then there you go. That's not real. That's not dedication, you know?
Well, that's all we had.
That's bullshit, Grayson. That is... No, that's not acceptable. If you really don't want to get burnt, you know better.
No, I don't. I actually prefer the spray-on stuff.
No. No, because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because I was in the 7th grade, maybe the 8th grade, and I went to... What was it? Port Aransas with my family for Mother's Day, okay? And... Maybe it was, I don't know if it was Mother's Day. School is still going on, though. And I don't like the beach. I wasn't very familiar with the beach. It was actually one of the last times I went to the beach because I used a spray sunscreen, Grayson, and I just sort of like did one line across my arm thinking that'd be cool. And it was disgusting. I had a streak of normal skin on my arm and all the rest of me was red for a good like 2 weeks after the fact. And I was humiliated. It was miserable and I didn't like it.
That's what happened to my brother because he didn't bother to rub it in afterwards. Like it's instructions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least I was 12 at the time. You know, like now I don't get sunburnt anymore because I know enough to either not go outside or use the actual lotion kind. You know what? So you and your brother are both very incompetent adults.
But you see, the issue wasn't the spray on stuff. It was your application of it is what I'm saying.
No,
and
my...
I applied it properly.
But clearly you didn't.
I applied it and then rubbed it in.
You sent me photos.
No, I did. I applied it properly. I applied it multiple times.
You could not have.
The SPF was only 30.
Okay.
It was only SPF 30.
Okay.
And I am the palest man in the world.
Well.
Like, there's white on the tube, and I matched the white.
That's beautiful.
It was crazy.
So when you say that, and I don't want to make this a competition, Grayson, because it's not something I'm particularly proud of, but do you believe in your heart of hearts that you're paler than I am?
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. I'll
like,
take
you
your word
remember,
for it.
I only ever wear like pants, so my legs are at least equal to pale as you. At least.
Grayson, I haven't worn shorts since I was probably in elementary school. I'm so ashamed of my body, you know? Body dysmorphia and eating disorders, they take a toll on what your body is like and then what you're willing to wear, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Point is,
yes,
I'm exceptionally pale. Extremely pale. I inherited it from my mother. My mother will burn if she's outside for like 5 minutes.
That's unfortunate.
And I just got this agonizing sunburn. Mm-hmm. It's still like red, red, like unbelievably red.
Yeah.
On my feet. And I don't know how it happened because I genuinely just kept reapplying over and over and rubbing in it. The only thing I can think was it was only SPF 30, so it just wasn't good enough.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm
pretty
sure.
Got this terrible sunburn.
Yeah.
Can hardly walk. Barely getting around because of how just awful it is to move.
When you say
it's also like really centralized around my ankles and knees.
Okay. Because when you say it's a terrible sunburn, I can attest to this. You sent photos and it's disgusting looking. Like so painful.
Yeah.
So miserable. So many shades away from your regular pigment. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievably bad. But that was only one part of it, because when I was out on the water, my blisters, they had already popped. So there were basically just these pockets of skin.
I don't want to hear about your blisters, man. I really don't.
Where the water was flowing in, and the one on the pinky toe of my right foot managed to get infected. So I also have an infected toe.
I mean, you're just, it's an incompetence in multiple regards. You know, you don't know how to apply sunscreen. You don't know how to apply the proper sunscreen. And then you stick your still healing wounds into a disgusting lake or river. You know? It's like...
Apparently it was more disgusting than it was meant to be, according to my dad, because he had already tubed on the river.
What do you mean
it was more disgusting?
It was
more nasty that day.
Oh, I see.
I think if it was like cleaner, it would have been totally fine. And again, it was only one of the three different blisters I have. So I don't know what happened with that one blister.
It's really not a good excuse, you know? If it were cleaner, I would have been safe. You still got in the water. It was like, that's okay.
Cool. And so that one ended up infected. And then the big one on the bottom of my foot where the hole in the sock was, that one I woke up one day and the skin had like peeled back. And so I took my nail clippers and I just cut it off so that it wouldn't peel anymore.
That's good.
So I also got a big hole at the bottom of my foot.
Okay. I is that all, please?
I think that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great. So I don't have any wounds, I don't think, at the moment, you know? Oh, I do technically. I had to go to get my tattoo retouched the other day, so that's still healing. But
oh man.
That's only momentary bleeding and pain. You know, it's really not that bad. But did I tell you about how resistant this dude was to touching up my tattoo or no?
You kind of hinted at it. You said you had to, like, keep getting in contact with him.
Yeah, basically he was like, hey, like, when I first got it done, he was like, come back in a week or two and then we can get it retouched, like, no added charge, no anything. And then we tried getting in contact with him for, like, the next month and a half and there was just no response and he was just clearly being ignored. And so eventually we had, like, reach out to his wife and then she set it up and then... It basically, time was of the essence. I have to go back to school in a couple weeks. And so I was very grateful that we were able to get it done in time. And then when I went there, it was like nothing happened. We just didn't acknowledge it. And I really don't want to either because I don't want an angry person tattooing me. And it was pleasant. It was very nice. So
fantastic.
So point is, I do technically have wounds.
Why do you have his wife's number?
She handles like a lot of his appointments and stuff. So yes. Yeah, I don't have it. My mom has it. They're friends, sort of. I don't know. I don't know quite the nature of the relationship. The dude, I think I told you this too. My mom used to play soccer. She played in an indoor soccer center. This indoor soccer center had a bar and it also had a tattoo shop in like the corner of it. Like you had to go up some stairs and just a random tattoo shop. And he worked there. And so they became friends. And now he has his own shop. And I went there for my first tattoo, you know?
Was for him, you know?
No, he really is. And he's really good at his job, too. It's awesome. It's awesome.
So when do I get to give you a tattoo? When's that happening?
You're like you with the machine.
Yeah.
Probably not for a while, you know?
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to meet up for an extended period of time for a little bit.
Yeah. So at least maybe like that's a season 5 goal, you know? Beginning of season 5, we tattoo one another. I think so.
No. I don't want any tattoos.
But you're going to get one if I get one, so it's okay. It's okay.
But you already have a tattoo, so it's kind of different, you know?
Yeah, but like, I imagine we'd get matching boy tattoos, you know, the original logo, because at that point it'll be at, like years in the past, like a relic from our childhood, and it's like, oh, we need to do this. This is like the genesis of our long-lasting friendship. And then we have our beautiful faces on in one another. At least I'll just have like a Crusader helmet. You'll have to get my real face. So
yeah, that'll be real weird.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant face to look at. I'm sorry, but it's going to have to happen, man. It will.
You know, if like 20 years from now, you don't have half Puerto Rican babies that are calling me Uncle Grayson, I'm going to be very upset.
Did you say uncle? You didn't say uncle. That's not the word that came out of your mouth, but okay.
No, I'm pretty sure it did.
You're going to be very upset.
I'm going to be very upset.
About, will you be upset if there's a lack of babies or a lack of half Puerto Rican babies?
I'll be mostly upset about the not Uncle Grayson part.
Oh, okay. So theoretically, I could just start calling you Uncle Grayson and you'd be just as happy. Right? Yeah, is that what I'm getting? Okay.
You got to wait like 20 years.
Yeah.
You can't do it now. You got to wait like 20 years.
Again, a season 5 goal. You know, that's very far off in the future. I think so. But yeah, a whole lot of stuff has happened there. I'll probably talk to you about that after the show, you know, just self-present. Unless any questions you want to ask now, I will answer. However, otherwise, I'll save any of the stuff that you're hinting at till the show is closed. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Are I do have one question.
Okay, please.
Should I expect to have Puerto Rican babies earlier than 20 years?
That's a good question. I can't confirm yet. I would say probably not, but potential. I don't want to be having my first kid at the age of 40 or 39. You know, it seems unfair to the kid. Like, my parents had me when I was 27 and I was their last kid, and like, they already seem pretty old. So I don't want to do that.
Well, my dad had me really, really late.
Yeah, but your dad looks like he's 20, so it's fine. You know, it's all in the appearance.
He is 61 now.
That is ridiculous. That's way too ridiculous. I mean, you should just be so grateful and so happy, you know? Like,
well, I would be, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Both of my parents aged super well.
Yes.
But
also,
my brother,
he
looks like my parents' child. He looks like literally a mix between both my parents. I don't. I'm this weird anomaly that just has almost none of the same features as either of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I have a weird brow that doesn't look like them. My eye shape is different. My nose shape is very different. Like, the three of them have basically identical noses.
Yeah.
My nose is just from, I don't know, outer space.
Now, would you attribute...
My whole family have the thinnest, tiniest little lips. And then I got big lips. I got plump lips.
Oh, hell yeah. Would you attribute those differences to genetic sort of factors? Or would it be more like the sticking the fork in an outlet when you were five?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I always looked really different.
Okay. Okay, so that was from birth.
Yeah.
So it could theoretically be a genetic mutation.
Maybe.
I think so.
I got a bunch of weird stuff.
I think that's probably most likely.
I was born with white hair. I have the central heterochromia in my eyes.
Love central heterochromias. Those are my favorite.
Do you know what that is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's when your eyes are two colors.
Oh?
But it's not like regular heterochromia that everyone knows because it's really cool, where each eye is a different color, so you have a blue eye and then you'll have a brown eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you have a ring of one color and then a ring of another color.
Oh, that seems...
So really, my eyes just look green and just generically green, but in reality, there's a brown ring of color.
Your eyes are green?
A blue ring of color. They look green, yeah.
That's so weird. I didn't know that.
But they aren't green, to be clear.
Oh, okay. Well, what color are they?
Technically blue.
Oh, okay. I mean, why are you complaining?
But they're
also
brown.
Those are the two eye colors that people want, is either blue or green, and then you got them both. You know, I feel like this isn't grounds for complaint.
No, I'm not complaining. It's just like that's a very standout thing
okay. That
doesn't relate to the rest of my family.
I see.
Like, my brother clearly has my mother's eyes. Like, she has hazel eyes, my brother has hazel eyes.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know. I don't ask. Maybe you're not theirs. You don't know. I you're old enough. They could tell you now. I don't know what to tell you.
No,
man.
But they have footage of me getting born.
Oh, good. Well, how do you know it's you?
Yeah.
It could have been some other child.
It's possible.
You know, it's definitely possible. Why wouldn't it be possible for you to get switched at birth?
Well, because I've seen the footage of me after birth. I never watched the footage of me being born, but I've seen
what?
The footage of me right after birth when they're like washing me up and stuff.
Can I ask why they thought that was a good idea to record?
I don't know. And the funny thing is, I've watched it both for myself and my brother. We're like, we've just been born and the nurses are like cleaning us up and stuff.
Yeah.
And with me, they were so gentle. They washed me really, really nicely.
Uh-huh.
Washcloth rub. With my brother, it was just like, shriek, shriek.
That's beautiful. Wow.
Just awful. So the joke was, oh, this is your second child?
That's awesome. So do you guys just have like family home video night where you watch one another's births?
I don't even know how this came up. I think my brother probably had us watching it because my brother does that sometimes.
Just watches his own birth.
Yeah, I would never bother.
Oh, wow.
Like, who cares? Why would I want to watch that?
Uh-huh.
My brother, he likes that stuff, I guess. I don't
know. That's good. Good for him. Good for him. He's a,
yeah.
It's a very unique.
And then also, in case that wasn't enough evidence, I've done that genetic test.
Okay.
So I know I'm related to my mother's mother.
Hey, that's good. That's good. That's
Which
important.
Means I'm definitely related to my mother.
Well, not... You're definitely related, but you may not be related in the way you think, right? Like, she could still not be your mother. You just share genetics.
Yeah, but that in combination with the other evidence?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty firm evidence.
I guess so, but not 100%. Like, we can't confirm it. It's firm, but not 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've also, I know for sure that I'm also related to people on my dad's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely some combination of both of those.
Yeah,
two
but
lines.
Like your family's from Kentucky and stuff. You know, like incest isn't so far out of the picture.
Illinois.
I mean, same deal. So
no.
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
Illinois.
Kentucky, Illinois,
New York,
Arizona.
You know,
a lot of incest is the point. You know, I think that point holds firm regardless. I really do.
Nah.
I don't think it's a big deal though. I think acknowledging the fact you may not be your parents' child is okay. I look nothing like my mother. I wouldn't be surprised if I found out that I'm not her child, you know? It just...
Well, the issue is I've had this theory. My brother has also posited this theory.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the evidence is to the contrary.
But that's what they want you to think. You know?
So they called Ancestry and were like, hey, could you just stick in a few of his, like, third cousins from his dad's side?
Grayson, you're forgetting that the world revolves around you. So if a conspiracy exists, right, it will be that in-depth and specific.
It's a Truman Show thing.
Yes. Yes. Grayson, you're the next coming of Christ. Of course they're going to do this to you.
Yeah.
I think it's silly for you to think otherwise. I really do. I do.
Yeah.
But also, this weekend, Grayson... Oh, we got Austin, Texas to look forward to, you know?
We do.
Is it still on for me to come up on Saturday night after work?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
My parents will be in a hotel.
Okay.
They told me. Or at least probably.
Okay. Gotcha.
Apparently that's what my mother thinks, and sometimes my mother's just off the money, you know?
I see. I don't mind. I can share a living room with your parents if need be. You know,
I was going to let you have my bed.
No, I'm not going to take your bed. I don't like that. I don't feel comfortable with that. But.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go up Saturday night. There's a very real possibility that I fall asleep behind the wheel and you lose your friend. But if that happens, you can take solace in the fact I was coming to visit you. So that's nice.
Yeah.
But hopefully I make it. Do we have any plans for, like, when I'm there? I know he said we'll work on, like, building the website and, like, making that pretty, which is good. But other than that, we got to record an episode. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about...
We have to record an episode because you'll be going to New York.
Yes, I will. How do you feel... I came up with this idea, and it's very convoluted and is an idea that exists for no reason, but we could record half of the episode the night that I get there and then the other half of the episode the day that I'm there, you know?
That's unbelievably complicated.
Again,
I am going to veto that immediately.
What are you talking about? I thought you'd be really on board, man.
I'm still going to be moving in that time.
What are you talking about? We can record it as you move. You know, I can follow you with the microphone like a reporter. It'll be great. It'll be great stuff.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I definitely do. But
by the way, you're 100% going to get roped into whatever moving thing's going on at that time.
That's okay. I do have to be back probably like midday Sunday, so I hope that's acceptable. But like, I'll probably leave in like the afternoon rather than the evening, if that's cool with you guys. But
yeah, I don't know when anything is.
Yeah, I don't either. But hopefully it'll be cool. We can exchange gifts, do all that sort of stuff. But... That's this coming weekend. This past weekend is way too stressful, Grayson, okay? It was way too much because, I I'm always very cloudy and confused about what details I can share about my internship. But I was already telling you about how too many people are there. There isn't enough staff to handle it. We've only gotten more clients since then. And since that point, too, of getting more clients, I like to attribute this to the fact that there just isn't enough proper care right now because of the understaffing, that multiple people have left the home, you know, like meaning terminated their sort of participation in the program and walked out the gates. And so that's the thing that's happening right now. And so it's very, very stressful. There was just a laundry list of things, Grayson, you know. Like, theoretically, there could have been, in this hypothetical internship that's not happening, a lot of self-harm, people falling and hitting their heads, and like, throwing tantrums. It's just a lot. It's so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they're going to do when I leave in 2 weeks. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. It's really not okay. I don't know what they're doing. But they'll figure it out, I hope.
Hopefully.
I really hope so. I really, really do. But I've been learning a lot there too. You know, I've been reading books. I've been reading books that were recommended to me by some of the therapists there. For psychoed group that we do every day, we watch TED Talks and stuff. And a lot of the conversations have revolved around shame. And so, like, I've listened to a lot of speakers and read a lot of people, like, talking about the concept of shame and vulnerability and shame resilience, right? And mm-hmm. what I've found, like, a really common theme in all these very prominent speakers is that they always, and it's probably fair, because I guess the research points to make that distinction, but there's always a very separate discussion about shame in men and women, right? And the shame for men, like, that conversation normally revolves around, like, a
penis.
I mean, to an extent, yes. More so, I'd say, a sort of focus on being perceived as tough, right? And then, like, a focus on...
because of penises.
Your self-worth defined by your work ethic...
your penis.
...and your accomplishments in work. Whereas with women, the shame is like, they always talk about it in reference to, like, sort of your appearance.
Their boob.
And, I mean, that's part of it. And then your general sort of interpersonal effectiveness, if that makes sense. And
which is driven by your boobs.
Yep. I mean, to an extent, this is true. So I just, they make this very black and white distinction. Like, this is shame for men, this is shame for women. And they leave very little gray area. And the gray area they do talk about is like, but women can also experience shame around work as well and their accomplishments. And so... it's just, I don't know, because I'm reading this and I'm finding out, Grayson, I'm finding out through all these social workers and all these researchers that I think I'm much more of a woman than I am a man, you know, because the shame that I experience comes so much more from my physical appearance and my interpersonal sort of relationships, you know, like I do also feel it in relation to work and stuff. But again, I feel like the vast majority of shame is derived from those other two things. And so I'm pretty sure I'm a woman.
Well, is it shame or anxiety? Because those are different things.
I'd say...
anxious about your appearance, or are you ashamed of your appearance?
I would say there's anxiety revolving around the shame. Well, no, not even. I think they can both exist. I feel like they're not mutually exclusive. Because I...
Yeah, but I think there's an important distinction between the anxiety you feel around something and the shame you feel around something.
I definitely don't feel anxious about my appearance. I think that's just pure shame. Whereas with the social interactions, I think it's a bit of both. Mm. Does that make sense?
I guess. I would think it's anxiety for both.
Anxiety for both?
Yeah.
But how...
that would be my guess.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of my anxiety revolves around stuff that I feel... I'm going to make a statement that I'm probably not going to actually believe and just say in the moment. But like, I feel like anxiety for me revolves around a lot of stuff that I know I can change and I know that I'm not changing. Well, huh. I don't know. Mm. I don't, because I know what anxiety feels like, and that's not what I feel when I look at my body. I just feel sad when I look at my body, you know?
I don't know. I think it's hard to define emotions in that way, especially for guys, because we suck at that. That's what we're worst at, is defining emotions. But I do think there's an important distinction from shame and just general anxiety, or even just different types of anxiety. Like, I think you can feel anxious in a social situation, and that's a different anxious that you feel when you're like, oh man, I don't like this. Because you feel anxious when you don't like something.
Yeah.
But that feeling anxious from not liking something is also different than shame when you dislike something about yourself.
I don't think I'm equating anxiety and shame whatsoever, because like the definition that keeps on getting pushed on everyone in this goddamn house and in all the readings I've been doing is that it's a fear of losing connection with others. And that's like what all these books and stuff revolve around, is like shame is derived from like losing that connection. And so
what a dumb definition.
Yeah, to be fair, it's like a very small definition that then has like a 400 page book to back it up. And like when you take into account the whole book and you see all the nuances and the points, it's like, okay, I guess it makes sense. But also, that's an oversimplification at first. But I don't know. I think it's very hard for me to put into words, but I think there is a definite distinction that I can make between the two. And just how I know they manifest for me. Because I do know that there are distinctions in types of anxiety, right? Like, mm-hmm. the type of anxiety I feel when I'm talking to someone new, right? And trying to make a good first impression. compared to the type of anxiety I feel like sort of in anticipation of something. Like, goddamn, every single day on, like, when I was being driven to high school, Grayson, every day, like, for, I mean, this went on for years and years and years, like, before high school even. But on that way to school, my mom is driving me. As soon as we walk out that door, the butterflies start creep. Well, yeah, it's before I walk out the door. It's like as I'm putting on my shoes and getting my backpack, like the butterflies start creeping up and you feel like this horrible dread and anxiety. And then eventually first period starts and you're fine. But
yeah,
like that's very distinct to me than the type I feel in social situations. You know, like I'm aware and able to acknowledge differences in types of anxiety. But what I, in my mind, view as shame is not that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. Maybe you are a woman.
I think so. I think that's the point. I really resent that you would say anything to the contrary, you know, to sort of undermine my womanhood would be very disrespectful, and I wouldn't appreciate it one bit.
My mistake.
Yes. Yes. But also, I think it's so lame and outdated, like, when she was describing shame for men, so much of it is about, like, oh, men need to appear tough, and they're, like, also part of what she was saying is a way for men to sort of compensate and hide their fear of shame and vulnerability is a sort of a resistance of homosexuality. And it just felt so weird because the rest of her book felt so well researched and very informative. But then she just sort of makes the blanket statement that all men are homophobes. And I really didn't know how to take it. Like, it was so weird.
No, I can kind of buy that.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've known enough men who do that. Yeah.
I guess. So is it just my social circle?
I don't think it's a matter of, like, every man who ever feels anxiety about their toughness does this. But I do definitely think that's one of the ways.
Grayson,
men will.
You just equated shame and anxiety. You did the very thing you were calling me out for.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you
I think
did?
It's anxiety.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about shame. I think it's anxiety. I think
I
you
see.
Have anxiety about your toughness.
About my toughness?
Not you in particular.
Oh, I was about to say, no, I don't. I'm not tough. I'm fine with that. I'm very weak. I was
in the general concept, I don't think there's shame about toughness. I think you have anxiety about your toughness.
I see. Well,
I think I just probably use a different word for
I
what
think so.
More or less the same thing.
It's all definitional.
As I normally do.
Yeah, yeah. But I
just think shame is a dumb idea to begin with in a large sense.
I guess so. I don't know. You'd probably have to expand on that before I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I want
to
say...
You want me to expand on it?
Sure, but let me talk about my toughness, Grayson, okay? Because I was pleasantly surprised yesterday, because for the second time now, someone at my work, as I've had to, like, help out with something, like, as far as lifting something up or doing something that requires heavy lifting, and they're like, wow, you are so much stronger than you look, and that's such a compliment.
Hmm, almost like you care about your toughness.
Yes, I do. Quite a lot. If they didn't say that, my ego would have been wounded, and I would have hurt. I would have still been reeling from it. We'd have spent the whole episode talking about it today, Grayson. It would have been a lot to handle. But I need to hear...
Shame and anxiety.
Yes, please.
When I think of anxiety, I think you generally just... I use it as a general term for distressing emotion in regards to a specific element of yourself, your psyche. Like, just overall... So you can have anxiety for facing a social situation. You can have anxiety about how you look. You can have anxiety about anything. And I think having a generalized definition is better for the sake of, like, saying, here is an emotion. You're facing the emotion in regards to a situation, so that treatment can be in regards to the situation instead of regarding the emotion.
But how
because
do you...
the root of it is the situation.
But how do you reconcile that with the fact that those different situations... Like the, because I get that there is, maybe I'm not understanding what you're saying, actually. Are you saying that there's no point in differentiating the types of anxiety, and instead you should only focus on differentiating the situations in which anxiety arises?
I think there's definitely reasons to differentiate the types of anxiety.
Okay.
Like you were talking about before, the difference in anxiety from entering a social situation or like going to school or whatever other type of anxiety. Like those are different things. But... to make an entirely separate category for what can easily be defined as a form of anxiety and call it shame, like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
And obviously in, like, everyday speech it makes sense because it's helpful because everyone knows what you're talking about to some degree.
but in a clinical sense, like in the sense of a very scientific term,
mm-hmm.
when something you know is rooted in basically the causes of it, and then those causes generate the expression,
mm-hmm.
to then just have this entirely separate category, that doesn't make sense to me.
I gotcha. Well, okay. I think maybe then you're looking at the concept of shame too clinically, you know, or too empirically, because I think a lot of it, like, it is a more sort of individualized term, you know? I think the experience of shame is probably a lot more specific to the individual in, like, a specific situation. And
yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about the situation and the individual. But by having this separate category from anxiety,
yes.
where anxiety is just a very general term of like, oh, this is a distressing thing. You're mm-hmm. feeling distressing emotions. And then you can focus on the specific situation and individual. By having shame, you're going to spend all your time tackling shame as an emotion, as opposed to tackling the causes and the situation that it's rooted in.
Well, I don't think anyone's calling shame an emotion. I think shame is the result of emotions that you feel, right? Like a lot of...
Okay, so it's a clump of emotions instead of an emotion. I don't see the difference.
It's a what, sorry? You cut out.
It's a clump of emotions instead of emotion.
No, it's a result of those clump of emotions.
Okay, so what is it then?
Well, that's the thing, because I feel like you're equating anxiety and shame, right? Like, you're saying those things are very similar, but I feel like maybe in your mind they are, and with what your definition of shame is, but how I've learned to view shame is more along the lines of something comparable to guilt rather than anxiety, in the sense that you're making these sort of negative statements about, like, who you are as a person, right? Like, these things happen, you experience these negative emotions, and from that, shame kicks in. And you attribute, or you sort of take on those negative emotions and attribute that to some fault of yourself, like you as a person, right? So, like, the reason that it's so tied to guilt is that the idea of guilt is that you feel bad for doing a certain thing, right? Like a certain instance, and you're able to acknowledge, like, in this instance, this thing happened, and I feel bad about that. Whereas shame is when something happens or you feel some bad emotion, but instead of attributing it to the single situation, you instead sort of attribute it to you as a person and something that's more intrinsic, and it becomes like a part of your personality. Like, I am a bad person because this thing happened, instead of I did a bad
thing. But I would equally use anxiety in replacement for guilt. I don't think that's a good example, because I would happily use anxiety instead of guilt. If I was discussing a specific situation where it's like, you feel guilty about this, mm-hmm. and that's causing anxiety, then I'd be fine using guilt, because it's the term we use to describe in a situation.
So what is wrong?
The same way.
Sorry.
What?
What is wrong then with having these different subcategories of anxiety? Because then, sure, I'll be willing to say then that shame can be a manifestation of one's anxiety, right? Like, that experience can result from anxiety. But what's wrong with still calling it shame?
Well, for starters, I would say shame is a cause of anxiety, not the other way around. And then I would say, when it comes to treating something, like I said before, it takes the focus off of the emotions you're feeling and turns it towards addressing the causes of the emotion. When you're talking about shame in, like, a psychological practice, you're probably going to be very focused on the feelings of shame as opposed to the things that are causing the shame. And I think that's ineffective.
I think both of them are.
Treat the causes of it, not treat the symptoms.
I think both are worthwhile, because what I was saying about how people take those feelings of shame and they become so closely tied to their identity, even once you get past the initial issue at hand. Like, again, I'm working in, like, the trauma recovery center, and so a lot of the treatment is based around sort of shame resilience, right? And a lot of the shame is derived from, like, having been sexually assaulted or experiencing some trauma. And so that event can happen. It's like a one-time thing. The event happens, and then the shame persists, right? And so, like, the event dissolved, like, you're not actively being sexually assaulted over and over again, but the shame is still there, you know? So, like, it still persists even after that initial stressor. So I think working past and getting it to separate it from your identity is important, too. I don't think you can just have one without the other type of treatment.
Absolutely. But, again, for much the same reason that I don't like labeling a lot of different diagnoses.
I think so.
Whatever. For the same reason, I don't like labeling all of these different things, because I think they imply a certain method of treatment. I wouldn't want to diagnose, I guess, a certain type of emotion. I'd rather label it all anxiety. And if you're trying to cope with an emotion, that's a very individual thing. So I'd rather you work with your psychiatrist or psychologist to treat this very specific emotion that you're experiencing, as opposed to, oh, this is how you handle shame. Oh, this is how you handle regret. Oh, this is how you handle guilt.
But
because I think just generalizing it and then treating the thing for the individual is better. Labeling it implies a certain method of treatment. And so again, I think shame and guilt have very helpful places in like common conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But in a very precise sense, when we're talking about scientific things, or at least what we want to see as very scientific mm-hmm. things, it seems to me far less helpful.
But you make it sound like when people are trying to work through shame, right? The people that are trying to help them and the type of treatment they receive sort of looks at it as this all-encompassing thing, right? For which there's no room for...
You just read a 400-page book that generalized shame for men and women.
Oh, yeah.
You were literally just talking about
generalization. I agree. That person, I don't like that idea of it, right? But I also think,
too... So how can you possibly tell me that the treatment of it isn't generalized?
Because I've sat through the treatment of it. Like, that's what a lot of me being there it consists of, is me sitting there through shame resilience therapy sessions, right? And it is focused around the individual. Like, the therapist isn't sitting in the front of the room and being like, this is what you're experiencing and this is how we fix it. It's talking with the person, trying to figure out what they're experiencing and trying to sort of label sort of the roots of it and work past it, you know? I think when you're...
So then why does it need to be called shame? Because clearly they're experiencing very different things. So why call it all one thing?
So you can have a more specific label on what you're working with. If you call it anxiety resilience, that leaves it so broad. You're, again, like... If we're working under the premise that it is a type of anxiety, that's fine. Like that's well and good, but it's not bad to have it more specific and to focus on a certain type of anxiety, you know, especially for the type of anxiety that these people are struggling more with.
But isn't it fair to say that the anxiety is focused on an individual experience? Like, I don't think people experience anxiety in the same way, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't think people experience shame in the same way.
I don't think so either.
Insofar as shame is the subcategory of anxiety.
Yes. Again, we're talking about this book. This book was published to sell books, you know? Like, it's supposed to sort of lay out common themes and be like, hey, this is how people work. When that's not how the real world does work, right? It's interesting and it's cool to read about. And it does trace general themes that are found through research. Like, the lady who's writing the book is not, I think, your stereotypical, like, counselor, social worker type. She is very, very like research empirically focused, where she's like not willing to make any statements unless she's done research that supports it, which I think is helpful to an extent. And so I think making those blanket statements based on research, it's useful, right? Especially on like a very real world level. But I agree with you too, that individual treatment should be treated individually. And I think in large part, at least with my experiences, it is. So I don't mind making that distinction between anxiety and shame as a subcategory.
I don't know. I think they're not distinct enough categories to give it a separate label.
I absolutely think they are, because anxiety is so broad, especially under the definition that you're giving, where we're grouping in guilt, also guilt, shame, social, generalized. Phobias would fall under that. Agoraphobia.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is, in the specific definitions where we're assuming they're separate things,
yeah,
I don't think they're distinct enough. So I'd rather just lump them in under anxiety.
I don't know. I think that...
And again, I going back to my initial point, I think shame causes anxiety. And I don't think emotions cause shame. I think it's the other way around.
You did mention that. I think it's probably more of a loop where... Like the two of them sort of play off one another and they build up one another, you know? I don't think they're it's that sequential. What'd you say, sorry?
What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
In relation to negative emotions and shame, you said?
Yeah. I was trying to give like a parallel to what you're saying about being cyclical. Does the emotion come first or does...
Well, I don't think that's true, because once a chicken is born, the chicken's born, you know? The chicken isn't reverting back to its egg form. Like, I don't... no sense.
You're really taking this metaphor the wrong way.
I'm sorry.
It's the question of which came first, the chicken or the egg, because when it takes a chicken to lay an egg, but a chicken comes from the egg.
Mm-hmm. I'd say negative emotions. I'd say negative emotions arise, and from that you experience shame. And then the two of them work together and play off and amplify one another. But I think that those negative emotions have to be in play before you experience that feeling of shame.
Okay, so anxiety happens, and then we call it shame.
No, again, you're equating the distress and the negative emotions to the experience of shame. I think the distress and the negative emotions that we would be labeling as anxiety right now are very distinct from the result, like the impact it has on the person and how they then go about their lives and how they view themselves. You know, I think one is a clear result of the other, not clear result, but it does result from the other. Like they're linked in a process together, right? And they're very hard to separate from one another. But I also think the anxiety is preceding the shame. And yeah, I don't see how shame could exist otherwise. Unless you're
okay,
like,
well, you just did that whole loop and then said the thing I said.
I thought you were saying that anxiety, you said I thought shame exists first and then anxiety comes.
No.
Oh, okay, then we agree.
When did I ever say that?
Then we definitely, I swear you said that. That's okay. Well, then yeah, we're on the same page, Grayson.
No. The only time I said that had to do when I was trying to explain my statement about the chicken and the egg, because you didn't seem to get the analogy.
No, that flew over my head, you know. chickens and eggs, it's too much. But okay, well then we're on the same page. Right?
To a degree.
Okay, cool. Well, we can talk about it more next episode because we are almost an hour and 20 minutes into the episode. So, how do you feel about wrapping up?
Okay.
Okay, cool. Well, guys, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do that at boyohboypod@gmail.com. That's boyohboypod@gmail.com. You can leave a rating, leave a review with whatever platform you're listening to. We have just a few more episodes to go before we enter in to the second season of Boy Oh Boy. New website, new logo, new everything, so long as iTunes cooperates. Until then, though, goodbye, everybody.
Adios.
B-O-Y-O-B-O-I. B-O-Y-O-B-O-I. It's the podcast you never heard.